Do you understand how relevant the scene is when you see the nativity scene, when you see there's a baby that is born in Bethlehem? That's very relevant. It's relevant to you no matter what is going on in your life right now. It's relevant. It has some place in your life. Why? Because no matter where you are in life, you want to be calling upon God. You need help. And there are times when we call upon God, we want to know that He hears us. Down inside, we have a problem to think that God does hear us and listen to us because we understand in ourselves we have messed up. And we are not on good terms with God. We are separated from God. And so we need to understand something. We need to understand that God, in His mercy, has provided a mediator for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting how the book of Job was written probably when Abraham walked on this earth, and so many, many years before Christ. And one of the things that Job said when he looked at his life, he said, you know, if I just had a mediator, if I just had, the old King James Version calls it a daysman, but he describes it this way, one that would put his hand upon us both. In other words, we know that we're separated from God and we're separated because of sin and there's a gulf between us and God. And so there needs to be somebody kind of like put their hands together, you know, one on one and one on the other. Well, God could reach down, but we would not even listen to Him. God, in His mercy, can't lower Himself because He's holy. And so He needed to be able to come to our aid, and He did by sending His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's why when Jesus was born, as we read from the book of Luke, that the angels were in heaven were singing glory to God in the highest. All right, this is a magnificent thing. The magnificent Christ, I'm calling Him, and He is, because any kind of superlatives you could ever find for Him, here He is, the very Son of God, stepped into our world for the purpose of putting His hand on us, His hand on God, bringing us together. So this is very relevant to us because we need help. Well, maybe you don't need help. I think all of us need help. We all need help. Okay, and this is where the help comes from the magnificent Christ. Now, what I want to look at tonight is a phrase that he was actually one of the marks that he is, the Christ, that Paul describes here in 1 Timothy chapter 3. It says that he was believed on in the world. I want to look at how he was believed on by people before he ever got here. He was believed on people when he was here, and he was believed on people since he left and went back to heaven. Ah, cool stuff, right? Bear with me. Here we go. I'm going to read the scripture from 1 Timothy chapter 3. I begin with verse 14 because it's a paragraph. Right, here we go. It's on your outline. I hope to come to you soon. This is Paul writing to Timothy, young preacher, and Paul's the apostle. It says, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you might know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. I just say this before I read any further, that the church has responsibility to hold up God's truth. Okay? That's why preachers are to preach the word. Okay? Preach the word. Don't preach politics. You preach the word. That's what we do. Right? That's important because we are the pillar and the buttress of the truth. We hold it up for people that are straying in life and going through problems in life. They need some solid ground to stand on. That's the Word of God. Okay? And that's what we preach, the Word of God. And so Paul says, Timothy, this is the ground of truth, the pillar of truth, the buttress of truth, the Word of God. And then he says, without controversy, he says, I've memorized the King James Version, and so sometimes when I'm reading, it's just, thing happens, you know, it's a blow. All of a sudden, I have this conflict within. I had a conflict there. Great indeed. Well, in the King James, without controversy. Okay, he says, we confess the mystery of godliness. Godliness shows us that our piety, our place with God, that we are one with God, godliness. Okay, but rather than deal with us, the apostle says, our godliness is based on one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, here we go. So he says, he was manifest to the flesh. Again, I've preached on each one of these. I have to fight the temptation. Just go ahead and re-preach these things tonight, you know, because I got an audience. All right, done. Okay. He's manifest in the flesh. This is so marvelous that God, the ruler of heaven and earth, the one that says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool, stepped into this world as a baby. He's manifest in the flesh. Because he came for the purpose of saving his people from their sins. The next phrase says he was vindicated by the Spirit. As we looked at, when we pointed that out, the Spirit of God was speaking in the Old Testament. And Jesus was here, and he speaks since then, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one. Then we also considered the next phrase, which he is seen by angels. Angels were around him, as you know. And angels came to minister to him. Angels are even rejoiced when we believe. So we covered that scene. He was seen by angels. In other words, this was not a fantasy thing. He was actually seen by angels. And then it says he was proclaimed among the nations. The gospel has gone forth to all the nations. And tonight we're considering that phrase, believed on in the world. You know, there was this old guy one time that I had the privilege of ministering in the country, in Arkansas. You know, country folks, you know, they sometimes talk a little different. And sometimes this old guy would say to me, Bob, I think you need to splainify that. So that's kind of a word here at Christ Community, because I use that term all the time. It means explain it. So let's just back up the train a little bit. Talk about believing. There's a famous scripture that all of us know, John 3:16. You know that scripture? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow, that's simple, isn't it? But notice it's all key in that is believing. In Romans it says that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. We look at that and say, wow. And so 1 John says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Believing is important. And so it says here that one of the marks that shows that Jesus is manifest in the flesh, he is the one, he is the way we have godliness, is that he was believed on in the world. Now, take my old guy in Arkansas that said, explainify that, Bob. Three levels of believing. Okay? I have to look at this first one. It's just knowing the facts. Believing is, okay, I know the facts. Yeah, okay. Sometimes we say, I can't believe it. Well, we just don't know the facts, right? And then there's a second step of believing is that we're convicted. We have a conviction that that's right. Yeah, that's right. And the third area is that we're willing to trust and submit to that, whatever it is we believe. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Not just knowing facts, not just acknowledging something, but jumping in with both feet. That's called faith. Oh, there's a scripture. Listen to this one. Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. All right, so you're having a problem tonight. God says you must believe that I exist. Yeah, so much so that you're willing to forsake all and seek after me. But not just kind of a little bit here and there, but, I mean, get serious about it. It's called faith, and that's why he says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. There's some evidence in your life of things not seen. And it's interesting, in James it says, you know, sometimes people say, oh yeah, I believe, and they just walk away. He says, you know what? The devils believe. The devils believe, and they tremble. So if we just say, yeah, I believe, and there's no change in our lives, we really don't believe. We're on that level one belief. Yeah, I accept the facts. Okay, I accept the facts that the Cleveland Browns are a football team. I shouldn't have brought that up, right? Okay. I still wanted the Cleveland Indians to win the World Series. I don't care about you people that like Joe Madden. All right. I like him too, but I wanted the Indians to win for once. All right. What it's saying is, believing is you're willing to stake your life on it. You're willing to stake your life on it. Here's a scripture. John chapter 1, verse 11 says, he came to his own people, and his own believed him not. But as many who did believe, he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name, not just acknowledge, not just are convinced that he's right, but those who are willing to stake their life on it. Even to those who believe on his name, and he says, which were born, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, nor of the blood line. He says, but they were born of God. What a thing. So we're called on to believe everything that that person who is born in a manger stood for, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me point out some things tonight that's going to be, so I want you to hold on to your socks because your socks are going to curl up tonight. So watch out. First of all, he was believed on before he ever came here. There was a guy in the Old Testament, his name is Adam. I love to have my Old Testament professor who is this Dutch guy. He would always say, Adam. And there was a guy in our class named Adam. Adam. Okay. And Adam means red dirt, by the way. And so Adam, who's named after the red dirt, the clay that he was made out of by God himself. Okay. He's the man who did the original sin, right? He was responsible. God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he ate it along with his wife. Now, if you look at that scene in Genesis chapter 3, there's some cool things there. First of all, there's a curse to the man. Okay, it says, when you work, you're going to work by the sweat of your brow. How many of you ever get stressed out at work? That is an evidence that God's word is true. Okay, if you're a man, you get stressed out, and now that women are in the workforce too, rather than being at home, they get stressed. They get really stressed out, because they're not supposed to handle all that stress. Okay, that's supposed to be the guys who go out there hunter-gatherers, right? But all of us get stressed out at work. It's an evidence that God's word is true. All right, also he said there's a curse upon the woman every time the woman has a pain that's associated with childbirth, whether it be a menstrual pain or the pain in giving children birth. That's an evidence that God's word is true. The other evidence is the very fact that people die. There was no death before this. Now there's death. That's an evidence that God's word is true. But he said this to the devil, to the serpent. He said that the seed of the woman, he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman. And he said, between her seed and your seed. And the seed of the woman, said, would crush your head. And the serpent, by the way, if you read the book of Revelation, is the devil. Okay? It says, the serpent's going to crush your head. You're going to bite, you're going to nip at his heel. Well, that took place when Jesus died on the cross. He nipped at his heel. He died. That was on the purpose of God. That was the plan of God all along for Jesus to die for our sins. But in doing so, he eliminated the curse of Satan, death upon his people, gave us freedom from the power of sin and Satan and death. Did Adam believe that? I think he did. I believe he did because, you know what he did? He renamed his wife. It's interesting. Isn't that cool how Adam went, you know, took a rib out of Adam's side, formed the woman, and here's this beautiful woman, okay, before him, and what does he say? He says, Isha. Now, you may not get that, but in Hebrew, that means woman, okay? But I like how Hebrew sounds, because I don't believe that when he saw that woman standing perfectly before him, flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones, I think she'd be called woman. I don't think he was like that. I think he was saying, Isha. Whoa! Okay, well, it's interesting. After God made this promise, watch it, because the promise is about the Lord Jesus Christ, he renames her Eve, the mother of living. Isn't that interesting? And God made skins, atoning for their sins, death, atonement for sin. There's another guy in the Old Testament, his name is Abraham, and Abraham, it says, had this mark on him. He believed God. What did he believe God? God said, out of your family, out of your seed, out of your lineage, I will bless all the families of the earth. Now, Galatians says that seed that he's talking about is the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, it says that Abraham believed God. What did he believe? Well, does he know all about the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's what Jesus said himself. He's talking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees are asking him, we don't know about you, we don't know. He says, well, Abraham saw my day, and he was glad. And they said, wait a minute, Abraham lived thousands of years ago, and you're not even 50 years old. And he says, before Abraham was, I am. He's the Son of God. He is before Abraham. Abraham saw his day, and that's why I believe when Abraham was called upon to take his son and offer him as a sacrifice, what did he do? He did it gladly. Because he believed that God would raise him from the dead. He believed. Put it all on the line. Adam put it all on the line. Job put it all on the line. When Job is suffering, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives. He believed. David believed. What did David say? The Lord is my shepherd. Isn't it interesting? Jesus used that same terminology in John chapter 10 and says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. Isn't it interesting how Isaiah saw the Lord's day? Here's what we look at. It says in the book of Peter, 1 Peter says, these guys wrote of the Lord Jesus Christ. These guys that wrote and they talked about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then what they would do is study the things that they wrote because they wanted to know more. Isn't that good? They believed, but they still had a learning spirit. Do you? Do you who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ still have that same desire to know more about Him, about His accomplishment? Well, let's look at the people that during the days of the Lord Jesus Christ when He walked here, there was a young woman. Her name is Mary. The angel appeared to her and said, do not be afraid. I reckon she was afraid, don't you? I mean, all of a sudden, here's this guy standing before her and says, do not be afraid. And she says, you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. Well, Mary thought on this and said, well, how can this be? Since I'm a virgin. Okay? And says this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Did she believe? Listen to her response. Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. That is an evidence of a person who really believes. If you really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, here I am, Lord. That's what it means to call Him Lord. Here I am. Consume me. I'm your servant. He's the Lord. That means He's the Master. And it says in Romans 10 that if we believe in our heart that Jesus was raised from the dead and we confess with our mouth that He is our Lord, and we show it. We'll show it if we believe it. Okay. Well, the disciples, by the way, all of them have unique testimonies. When Jesus first called His disciples, remember He walked by some who were fishing and said, come follow me. They just left. All right. Followed Jesus. A couple of them were walking with John the Baptist. And John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God. And so two of them, John and James, walked over and started following Jesus. And there was a guy named Philip that was following Jesus. And he went and found his brother Nathanael and said, you got to come see this. We are excited about this. This is the Christ. This is the Messiah. Jesus of Nazareth. And he goes, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Okay. Just like some of you are saying, can anything good come out of Eustace? Well, maybe you don't know where Eustace is. Joe does. Okay. We might say, can anything good come out of Bradenton? Or whatever. You know, okay, we might live whatever we don't like. And that's what they said. Nazareth. All right. He says, come and see. What a great word. Come and see. Check it out. So they came. Okay, he came. And Jesus says, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Nathanael says, how do you know me? He said, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Now, some people look at that and say, well, Jesus had really good eyesight. Okay? Something happened under the fig tree, and I believe what it was. Nathanael was hurting. He was calling upon God. And so when Jesus said that, he said, "You are the Son of God." He believed. We find others who believed. There was a woman at the well. Remember, Jesus spoke to her and actually pointed out her sin. And she was just marveled at that. And what did she do? She went and told the whole crowd, said, "Come see a man that told me everything about my life." Not only did she believe, but the other people in the town of Samaria believed in Jesus. There was a guy who was called Legion because he was filled with so many devils. He believed. Life was changed. And also, there was a man who was on the cross next to Jesus. And even though the other man was wailing upon Jesus and calling him all names, the thief on the cross said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Tonight, today, this day, you will be with me in paradise." Ah! People actually believed when Jesus was here. Before Jesus was here, they believed. When Jesus was here, they believed. Now, after Jesus left, we're not back to heaven. Did people believe in this truth about Jesus Christ? Oh, yes. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter is standing there and he's preaching the gospel, it says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And he said, 3,000 believed. 3,000. And after that, people were added to the church daily. They believed. There was a guy named Cornelius who was a Gentile. He and his household believed. So we come down and says in 1 Thessalonians, he says, "Our gospel came to you, not just word, but in power. And the Holy Spirit with much conviction, and you're changed." So that's why we know that you are the elect of God. You're the chosen of God because the gospel came to you. You believe it. Church history. Church history. You know, I love these. Sometimes you see these demonstrations of maps, you know. There's always, I don't know about you, but sometimes the people I have connected with on Facebook, you know, provide that. It shows how the gospel spread. You know, went from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth and went right up. You know, and they say that Thomas went into India and the Far East and the other disciples. Many people believe that Paul went into Europe. He had no record of that, but some people believe. But the gospel sure did. The gospel went to Europe and came to the United States. And you know, it has circled the globe. And today, one of the hottest points is Latin America and Africa. Some of the hottest points where people are believing. Thousands upon thousands are believing. Church history marks that out. So, Paul says he's preached or he's proclaimed among the nations and he's believed on in the world. If you're not a believer tonight, you need to check it out. The question is, do you believe? And has it changed your life? There are a lot of people say they believe. They say, "Oh, I believe in John 3:16." Really? You staked your life on it? Which level of belief are you believing? Is it acknowledging, or are you convicted about it, or are you jumping in with both feet? That's what the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is, where we make that known to others, where we confess. And therefore, we are changed when we believe. Isn't that cool? Now, listen to this. Let me back up. Because this baby that was born in a manger grew up and lived a perfect life for 30 years. A perfect, spotless life. He did not have one sin in his mind, did not sin once with his mouth, did not sin once in carrying out any actions of sin. Perfect. And yet this same one died death on the cross, an ugly death on the cross, crucified as if he was the darkest, most heinous criminal there was. And not only that, but God put a darkness on the earth when Jesus was on the cross because our sins were laid on him. And Paul says he made him to be sin for us, the one who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So this is a celebration. A celebration of the Lord Jesus Christ stepping into this world. The magnificent Christ has stepped in. Our magnificent mediator. He says there is one God. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's only one who would put his hand upon us both and bring us, brothers and sisters and friends who are here tonight that are suffering, that are hurting, and you're saying, I need to call unto God. There's only one way. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and nobody, nobody comes to the Father but by me. But the good news is, he says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Isn't that what you want tonight? Rest for your soul. To believe in Jesus Christ. Not just acknowledging. Say, yeah, okay. Not just saying, yeah, that's the truth. But jumping in with both feet. Believed on in the Word.